Welcome to Reading Deadly Troubadours. I'm author Brent Thomas, and join with me as I read from the second novel of my Deadly Troubadours series, Sand, Sea, and Stone. Let's begin, shall we?
Chapter 2. Demetrius Tate, Goblin. There was a time that Demetrius could easily draw a crowd. He was the apprentice of Bartimas, and their traveling wagon could be used as a stage or backdrop. Their shiny and polished merchandise glistened in sunlight and reflected the light of the moon or torches, adding a mysterious incandescence to the wares. This, combined with Demetrius's well-practiced tout calls and invocations to potential customers, resulted in fast-forming crowds. Demetrius was quickly learning this was no longer the norm he should expect. He lacked the flash and flourish of his old life. Instead, he was another dirty child in the streets, performing a brand of selling that is looked down on as little more than begging. His skill in mixing the potions and tinctures had not diminished. He could identify flowers and plants in local parks that would suit his needs for dyeing and perfuming water so that it appeared as a potent brew. What he lacked was the glassware to contain it. All he could afford, other than a single mixing beaker, were thrice-owned discolored jars and flasks that made his brilliantly colored potions appear dingy and murky under the best of conditions. Adding to the problem was his own personal appearance. He was ragged and far too thin. While he was no longer the ghoulish skeleton he had diminished to during his last apprenticeship, he maintained hints of gauntness that made him resemblant of a harried animal, one that would attack if slightly provoked. The threadbare clothes that covered his bony frame were what he had been able to pilfer from drying lines. He did not dare try and pinch from the local stores. The punishments were far too grave, and he knew he lacked the fluid skill needed to avoid the sharp-eyed clerks. This gave a mishmash quality to his appearance, on top of which was a lingering odor. Demetrius was having an especially difficult time changing this aspect, which should have been expected as the only bath he could afford entrance to was the local river. Needless to say, at the middle of a city containing an innumerable amount of bedpans, rivers were at their least fresh. All in all, Demetrius's current state was not a look that endeared him to his potential customers. The passers-by who were quick to shove the little goblin out of the way before promptly forgetting him. The only ones who gave him any consideration were the local troop of young thieves who were examining this new interloper into their territory. From their secret vantage points, the thieves had spent the last 3 weeks watching the boy they had nicknamed Goblin. They watched Goblin pick flowers and brew potions. They watched him steal clothes, wash them, and sew them up when they tore. They watched him attempt to sell his creations and make little gains from his efforts. They watched him eat what little he could afford or find. They watched him do all this while carrying a cinched cloth bag containing something that seemed to be a small melon. This melon was why they had yet to confront the little goblin. They had started their vigil for simple enough reasons. This newcomer was haunting the series of alleys and streets they considered as their territory. If said newcomer proved himself a thief, it could mean competition, or perhaps even a threat. There was also the possibility that he had the potential to be a new member of the gang, or, most likely, the newcomer was just an outsider who didn't know the rules and needed to be educated. The easiest would be if he were a drifter, especially one that was soon to move on. Even if he wasn't in a hurry, drifters usually needed little encouragement to be convinced it was time to seek new environs. There were lots of reasons to watch a new face in the alleys, but usually the watchers made the decision of what came next within that first week. They were now on the third week of watching Goblin, and all because of a stray comment. After 2 days, they had noted that Goblin always hid his little cloth bag. After 3, there was an unspoken curiosity about it. Day 4 was when the first wager was made. It was a friendly bet, made with the assumption that Goblin would open up the little bag soon enough. If it contained food, he would need to eat it. If it contained coin, he would need to spend it. If it contained something else, well, he'd want to look at it, right? By day 6, mild curiosity had bloomed into wild speculation about the mysterious contents. They could have just taken the bag, after all, they were thieves, but they didn't trust each other not to tamper with the bag's holdings. So they waited for Goblin to make the reveal himself. And they had waited for 13 additional days. That curiosity was slipping away into frustration among the thieves, and the whispers were that action needed to be taken. None of this was known to Demetrius. He had not the skill to know that he was under such intense surveillance. He did feel the presence of unknown eyes upon him, but assumed that was just the result of living on the streets of such a city. For his part, he had no intention of opening the bag. He knew what lay inside was his most valuable possession, a large sphere of star crystal. It was also his most dangerous possession, as the crystal contained the spirit of something very old and very powerful, and likely very angry. He was terrified of it, but more terrified of losing it. So he kept the orb tucked away in his cloth bag, secured by a tight knot of second-hand rope. It was the best he could do. Demetrius had spent yet another unsuccessful day trying to sell anything to anyone. His only remaining food was a handful of bitter roots he had managed to dig up when yesterday's rains had softened up the ground enough for him to be able to use his hands as little trowels. He had only managed to pull out a few before being run out of the park. He was trying to decide if he should eat them now or wait another day. He was used to hunger, after all. Deciding to eat just one and save the rest, he bent down to pull the root free of the knapsack that served as his travel kit. He bit into the bitter root. Its taste was what kept it from being a sought-after root. Even cleaned, it tasted like an unwashed potato. At the other end of the alley, 2 loud voices erupted, attracting Demetrius's attention. His first instinct was to bolt, fearing their anger was directed at him. His muscles tensed even as he deciphered their words. Just another argument over business, not an uncommon fight in the city streets. Demetrius no longer felt the press of danger, but he had seen such arguments get bloody in the past, and had no desire to find out if this one would resolve itself in that manner. Once more, he bent over his bag so he could stow away his half-eaten tuber. In a nearby puddle, left over from yesterday's rains, he saw the reflection of someone creeping behind him. Demetrius knew the lunge was coming, and waited until the last possible moment to dart out of the way. He did not want to fight, and thought only of fleeing to somewhere safe, but he could see the pair at the end of the alley had stopped arguing and were now standing guard, both with makeshift knives at the ready. He paused, not sure what should be his next step. From behind, the original attacker crashed into him. The 4 sent his knapsack flying, and he saw his few supplies spill onto the muddy road. Demetrius was shoved to the ground. He felt the rope that secured the other cloth bag, the one containing the star crystal, pulled tight across his frame. Then came a ripping sound, followed quickly by the thunk of something hard striking the ground. It was as if everything was moving in slow motion. The pressure that was forcing him to the ground relaxed and let go. In the distance, he could see the 2 other figures begin to scramble forward. Out of the corner of his eye, Demetrius saw the rolling sphere and knew that his attacker was heading towards it. He had no time to stand and skittered on all 4s after the rolling orb. With his right hand, he grabbed at the ankles of his attacker and gave a yank, tripping him. Or was it a her? Demetrius lurched forward. He could hear curses coming from behind him. His fingertips brushed the crystal. It felt warm. He rolled it into his palm and felt a shock of power flow through him. The orb pulsed with light. Countless fireflies danced inside. Demetrius felt a smile creep over his face. He no longer felt any fear of his attackers. They were insignificant now. There was a flare of light. Even in the brightness of the midday sun, the three thieves were blinded by the flash of the orb. Then came the pain. It flooded over them, causing their muscles to contract. Three bodies dropped to the muddy stones of the alley floor. Slowly, Demetrius stood. He felt his anger leave him. The glow faded from the orb that he now gripped with both hands. The spasms of the thieves lessened until there was just the original twitch. Their breathing was deep but ragged, and their limbs felt leaden. Moving would be a challenge. One thief shed a tear as he looked up into the emotionless face of the boy he had just attacked. He knew how he would respond in the goblin's place, and he offered up a silent prayer that the end would come swiftly without an excess of pain. For his part, Demetrius felt drained, hungry. Looking around the alley, he saw that the roots that were to serve as his dinner had been ground into the stone floor and were now just a white and brown paste soaking in filth. His stomach squelched and churned in an angry reminder of how long it had been since it was full. Demetrius studied his attackers. To him, they looked rich by comparison. They each had a rosy glow of health, and none of the three had the gaunt look signaling lack of food. While not new, their clothes were sturdy, and any apparent holes had been patched. He did not know why such a well-off trio would bother to attack him. He doubted there was anything about them he could trust. And yet, he felt they could serve a purpose. He took a few steps towards the crying thief. The boy tried to rise, but the result was just a series of twitches. Demetrius looked down at him. "I could kill you with one hand," he said. "Cover your mouth. Pinch your nose. It would feel slow. Unpleasant. Do you want that?" With great effort, the thief gave a slight shake to his head and mouthed the word no. There was no sound other than the slight yawn of air. "Good. I don't want that either. But I will do it if it comes to that. What I do want is food. You help me get some, and I let you live. Agreed?" The thief gave a nod and struggled to get out the word yes. What came out instead was more of a pained groan, but the meaning was clear. "Whenever you're ready, then." Demetrius sat and began to wait for his attacker's recovery. His mind was already drifting to the coming meal. After all, whatever the thieves had to offer was bound to be a feast when compared to stunted, wild roots. Maybe he would even be able to barter for some shoes that actually fit his feet. The attacker was careful to keep his gaze on Demetrius, lest his eyes give something away. His two companions, who had yet to merit much attention, looked up to the tops of nearby buildings. They saw the faces of others in their guild and looked down and observed the scene as it played out. The observers had seen the attack and the struggle for the orb. They had seen it glow as the goblin grasped it, and they had seen the jagged light the goblin created to take down three of their order. Amongst those observers was one who could be called their leader. As she had watched, she felt a familiar tingle go up her spine, a feeling of fear mixed with anticipation. It was a feeling she had felt many times before, one she regarded as significant. She looked down at the scene below and struggled to hold in her smile. Those around her would not yet understand. They only saw a threat. But she looked down and saw opportunity.
Hey everyone, this is Brent. If you've been enjoying this podcast, there's a few things I'd like you to do to help me out. First of all, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, and then go over to Goodreads. At Goodreads, you can rate and review both Deadly Troubadours and Sand, Sea, and Stone. Then you might as well go on over to Facebook and like the Brent Thomas author page. To see what I'm up to, you can follow me on Instagram or at Twitter. Don't worry about all of those addresses, because you know what? They're all going to be in the show notes at the end. You can also go to my website, which is deadlytroubadour.com. If you really want to support me, you know, with cash, you can go to patreon.com/Brent Thomas. If you want to purchase a copy of Deadly Troubadours, you can get a paperback through Amazon or an ebook anywhere ebooks are sold. Or you can contact me directly for either. Sadly, Sand, Sea, and Stone is not yet available. Thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. And you know what? Have a great day.